You may or may not know this, but Rick Bloodworth is a man who likes to tell jokes. And he's a man that loves to laugh. But as you know, and as I know, and as I know that you know, because you've known him for a lot longer, is he has a lot of wisdom hidden behind his laughing demeanor. My first week as a preacher was hectic, to say the least. I had absolutely no idea what I should be doing. And I had absolutely no idea how to manage time. And I had, in general, absolutely no idea of anything. And I remember I came to the office, and Rick and I were talking in the building. And he asked me, how are things going? And it's a funny question to ask somebody who has hair torn out of his head and evidence of tears on his face. But he asked me anyways, how are things going? And I have no idea what answer I ended up mumbling out to him. But somehow he interpreted what was going on. And he looked at me and he said, you know, Josh, you would make an absolutely awful Rick Bloodworth. And then he said, and you know what? You'd make a terrible Billy Graham. And I looked in his eyes and I could see that he had this list of people that he was about to tell me that I couldn't be the same as. But mercifully he didn't. But he looked at me and he said, but you make the best Josh Duncan. Comparisons, if we allow them to, can absolutely wreck us. One time in a class that I was attending back in Milwaukee, one of the men of the congregation brought up a quote from a book, and I wish that I could remember exactly how it went, but the gist of it was that comparisons really lead to two things. Either you think too highly of yourself, or you think too lowly of yourself. And as in everything, that's not the case in all situations, but in my experience, it happens the majority of the time. Very easily, we can fall into the trap of using others as measuring sticks for ourselves. And if we're not careful, it can happen with everything, not just spiritual things, but in earthly things. If I were to compare myself in terms of taking care of sheep with Max or Tim, then I would walk away from that comparison saying, I'm the worst person with sheep. I should never take care of sheep, which I probably shouldn't. But if I was to compare myself in terms of taking care of sheep with Walker, probably still lose that one. If I were to compare myself in terms of being a 28-year-old man with a beard to Walker, then I would walk away from that saying, I am the best 28-year-old man with a beard there has ever been. Either we can think too highly of ourselves, or we can think too lowly of ourselves. And it's funny, unless you are someone who struggles with comparisons. And then you know all too real the feeling of intently watching people just to see if you are better or worse than them. And that's not edifying for us. And it's not edifying for the kingdom. And really, it turns out to be pretty prideful. So what is the solution for us who struggle with comparisons? If you would turn with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I wanted to try having... I love having the mic on me so much this morning. I wanted to try having it this evening. But it's really loud. Which is nice. Save my voice a little bit. John chapter 21. Now really the first, before we get into John chapter 21, the solution to comparing ourselves with people is to stop comparing ourselves with people. Now, as with all solutions where the answer is just stop doing it, that answer is completely worthless to you as it is to me, unless we give something else to it. And that's why I wanted to start in John chapter 21. So in this section of Scripture, Jesus has before this, he's already been crucified, he's been resurrected, he has appeared to the disciples, and the disciples have gone fishing. They're at the Sea of Tiberias, and Jesus appears to the disciples, and at some point he pulls Peter aside and he's talking to him. So we're going to begin reading in verse 18 of John chapter 21. Jesus saying to Peter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you did not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Comparisons are a focus problem. Whether it be for spiritual things or just worldly things like work, or earthly things like work, comparisons, whenever we are making comparisons, we are taking our focus off of where it should be and putting it on things that we shouldn't be. And I see this a little bit in this passage in John. Jesus is taking Peter aside and letting him know that he doesn't have an easy path ahead of him. Jesus tells Peter that you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you to where you do not wish to go, telling him how he was going to die. Now, traditionally, it said that Peter was crucified. And so Jesus, whether that's true or not, Jesus is telling him how he's going to die, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be he does not have an easy path ahead of him. But Jesus does tell him where he needs to have his focus, where he needs to keep his focus. He tells Peter, "Follow me." No matter who we are, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what our opinions are of ourselves, we all have received the same command from Jesus, and that is, "Follow me." And no matter what it is, all of our focus needs to be on that, following him, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12:2, seeking the things above where Christ is, Colossians 3:1. No matter what's going on around us, our focus is on following him. It's when our focus starts going all over the place that we start getting ourselves into trouble. Jesus gives Peter this command to follow him, and going back into our text, what does Peter immediately do? Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. So Peter, seeing him, down in verse 21, said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Now, I'm extremely, extremely, extremely wary of seeming to criticize righteous people of the Bible. I really don't want to do it, and I pray that I'm not. Especially not one of Jesus' apostles. But what this makes me think of, and the point that I'm trying to get at, that I am terrible about doing, is that when I am told to follow him, sometimes what I do is turn around and look at other people. When we are told to follow him, the best chances that we have of giving him our complete devotion is by keeping our eyes focused on him and not looking around and saying, "But what about this man or this woman?" And definitely, assuredly, what gives us the most chance of success is to not compare ourselves to this man or to this woman. And look at Jesus' answer to Peter after he asked this in John 21, verse 22. Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." When I started thinking about this topic, thinking about comparisons, these are the words that I couldn't get out of my mind. What is that to you? You follow me. And it's a very, very rebuking statement to me who, you know, is comparing himself with preachers, or has compared himself with preachers. If Jesus desires 400,000 preachers to be better than me, what is that to me? I follow him. And notice that I did put quotation marks around better, because better is completely subjective. And really, in the things that truly matter, we are not the ones who determine what better and what not better is. In Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 7, Jesus is at this point in the story, he's at the house of a Pharisee. And he is going to sit down to a meal with them. It's a Sabbath day, and he's sitting down to a meal with them. And in verse 7, Jesus is about to start telling them a parable. And we see in verse 7 what prompted the beginning of this parable. And he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out places of honor at the table. And that's a perfect example of what I'm thinking about this evening, or what I'm talking about this evening. How does one pick out a seat of honor? They have to compare themselves with others and constantly look at them and create this ranking of how they are going to sit in their own estimation. And that's what we can do. We can constantly look at each other and build up this ranking of our own estimation. But in reality, as Jesus' parable is about to prove, our estimation is not the one that matters. Luke chapter 14, starting verse 8, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this man. And then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. For those of us who struggle with constantly comparing ourselves with others and using that as determination for how we're doing in life, we can take something from this passage. It is not how much better we are at anybody, or how much better we are than anybody at anything, that gives us worth. It is he who has invited us to the banquet. It is he who has the power to either tell us to rise and fall at the table who gives us our worth. Which brings me full circle to keeping our focus on him. Because it is he who has given each and every one of us the command, follow me, that gives us our worth. Wear the words of Jesus in John chapter 21, 22 on your heart. Use them every day to remind you of where to keep your focus. If someone is better than you, and notice, put the quotations around better. If you see someone in your mind as being better than you at being a preacher, at being a teacher, at being an artist, at being a rancher, a veterinarian, a truck driver, a farmer, whatever it is that you may compare yourself with others at, what is that to you? You're following him. Now, that being said, following Jesus means more than maybe those two words make it seem like. In fact, there's an entire book written on the subject. It means a lot to follow Jesus. And really, what that shows itself as is us transforming ourselves. Jesus has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we should take those things in us that are darkness and turn them into light. And if comparing ourselves with others is our darkness, what is the light that we can bring from that? I think 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, starting at verse 9, can tell us. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together in him. Therefore, and this is the part I want to focus on, encourage one another. Build up one another, just as you are doing. With our focus and our spiritual eyes where it needs to be, on Jesus, then, and only then, can we move our physical eyes to each other. Only then can we start looking at each other, but not to draw comparisons, but to build one another up. With the same fervor and constancy that we are constantly trying to, in our minds, prove whether we are better or not than someone, we can use that same fervor to build one another up. But we have to make sure that we have step one down first. We have to make sure that our focus is where it needs to be. Because if it's not, then we just end up gritting our teeth and bearing it. I think about two children that have been fighting that are made to hug one another. On the outside, they're hugging each other. On the inside, they're strangling each other. And so we have to make sure that our heart is right first. Because if it's not, then no real righteousness can come from it. And you can build up in earthly things that you may struggle with comparisons with. At your work or anything, you can, in fact, put effort into helping people grow around you. And, in fact, it should be something that we are doing. But we have to remember who our focus is. We follow Jesus. So when the time comes, if you are doing that, when the time comes that somebody comes to you and ask why it is that you do what you do, why you put so much effort into building others up, because it will happen. Godliness in this world is very obvious, and someone will ask why you do what you do. Tell them, it is because I follow Jesus. And if you struggle with comparisons about spiritual things, maybe you see other people being better at being hospitable than you are, or you see others as more patient than you are, you see others as more compassionate than you are, maybe you see people as being humbler than you are. Really, some people, this is a gift. As Romans 12:6 says, we have gifts that differ according to the grace that's been given to us. And all of these things that I've already spoken about, or that I just mentioned, patience, compassion, humility, these are all things that give glory to God. If someone is great at these things, then we rejoice. We have no other option to do so because our focus is on Jesus and on God. And if people are good at these things, they give glory to him, and we rejoice in that. But now you see why it's so important that we get our focus in the right place first. Because we're not able to do that if it's not. And also, take the opportunity, whenever you see maybe weaknesses in your spiritual life, to grow in those areas. Not to compare yourself with other people, but again, because your focus is in the right place, to give glory to God. What is your focus tonight? Jesus is calling and he says, you come follow me. If you need anything tonight, if you need to be baptized or prayers from the congregation, come forward while we stand and as we sing.